frontier against a marauding Atlantic. This is where you can journey along our nation's soul. This is the Wild Atlantic Way. So come with us on the way to a road trip of a lifetime, stretching 2,400 kilometers along Ireland's western seaboard. The Wild Atlantic Way is the longest defined coastal drive in the world. It is a journey shaped and inspired by the invaders.
Yeah, there you go. That was, believe it or not, the first ad by Fáilte Ireland advertising the Wild Atlantic Way, which stretches from Donegal all the way down here to Kerry and on into Kinsale in Cork. A report published today by Fáilte Ireland on the economic impact of the Wild Atlantic Way, which was created by the National Tourism Development Authority, has found it's worth more than 3 billion per year in tourism revenue to communities along the western seaboard. Fáilte Ireland also said it's led to the creation of an additional 35,000 jobs. It was launched by Fáilte Ireland in 2014 as the country's first defined driving or touring route along our coastline, stretching 2,500 kilometres from Kinsale in Cork to the Inishowen Peninsula in County Donegal. So it's been a success by any metric. It's certainly been a branding success, that's for sure. To talk a bit more about this, and it's being celebrated today at the huge Mehel event at the INEC in Killarney, I spoke to Paul Keeley, Regional Development Manager with Fáilte Ireland, and I first of all asked him about the 10 years of the Wild Atlantic Way.
Yeah, I mean, look, we are, I suppose, celebrating 10 years of the Wild Atlantic Way at Mehel here in Killarney this week. We first introduced the Wild Atlantic Way concept to overseas buyers, etc., at Mehel in 2013 and early 2014. So from our perspective, it's an ideal opportunity to re-energize everybody. We still have a journey to go on, etc. But yeah, I mean, over the years, we launched Wild Atlantic Way in response to the global recession, and it had seen tourism numbers decimated along the west coast. In 2013, I think we were at something like 6.2 million overseas visitors. By 2019, we'd grown that back to 8 million. So just as I say, just shy of 2 million more tourists per annum coming by 2019, and in revenue terms that's working out at 3 billion euros. And I suppose importantly, we were looking to get a good mix of that business. So of that 3 billion in revenue, about 57% of it is from overseas, 43% domestic. So what was important for us as well was to get Irish people to fall in love again with domestic breaks and to fall in love again with the West, etc. And again, just in terms of having that mix of business coming into the industry, I suppose, look, it helps insulate from downturns in any one marketplace, but also it means that the domestic audience are much more likely to travel in the shoulder season, etc. So again, in terms of the quality of business, there were parts of the Wild Atlantic Way when we first launched that the season could be as short as 6 weeks. Now we're seeing that you're getting at least 3-4 months of the summer, and in many instances actually businesses have actually have enough confidence now to go year round. So that notion of responsible growth, spreading the business right along the Wild Atlantic Way, and spreading it out from just being a kind of a peak summer months offering to being an all year round offering, certainly the brand and that kind of big idea of scale has captured the imaginations, I think, both of consumers and overseas buyers. And look, the upshot of it, as I say, is big jumps in volume, big jumps in revenue, and I suppose importantly for communities along the West Coast, that's resulted in jobs. So an additional 35,000 jobs created in that first 10 years of the brand's existence as well. So look, all in all, very, very encouraging. But obviously, you know, we are now kind of recovered from COVID, you know, we still have much more to do, as I say. And it was really encouraging last night. We had our buyers in for Mehel, and we were out in the new Killarney Brewing and Distilling Company Centre here in Killarney. Fantastic new investment in product for Kerry, and just listening and chatting to the buyers last night, it's just, you know, continued investment, continued reasons to believe in Kerry and the Wild Atlantic Way. So all in all, very encouraging week.
One of the positives from Paul is the fact that it brought, I suppose, a destination, or offered a destination to people, destinations that wouldn't have been on the main routes before, whether it's during Kerry or during Iberá, or, you know, into Dublin and surrounds there, that enabled, I suppose, people to find places and find maybe alongside the advent of experiential tourism. So people could set up businesses in remote locations along the coast and get people to come to take a boat tour, to do a food tour, to do any number of different initiatives. Because there was this, wild, I'll go to Ireland, I'll do the Wild Atlantic Way, what will I do while I'm on it? And it kind of helped that develop.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, I think the work that we have done, I mean, at one level, you know, the route and that notion of a 2,500-kilometre touring route was a big idea that captured the imagination. But you then have to give people a sense of, well, if I do it, what can I do? And I think that work that we've done with the local authorities up and down along the Wild Atlantic Way, and in particular, I wouldn't mind calling out Maura Morrell and the team in Kerry County Council, who have been fantastic partners for us. We've worked with Kerry County Council and local industry, local community groups, etc., to develop 5 local destination plans here in Kerry. And from that kind of ground-up effort comes new ideas, new experiences, etc., which ultimately what we want to do is slow the visitor down, stay a little bit longer, spend a little bit more in the community, etc., creating better quality businesses, better quality jobs. And there's a multiplier effect. You know, if we can get people, you know, eating local food, etc., then that feeds all the way through into the wider local community. And that's certainly be something we've been very, very keen to do, is to, I suppose, build out that authentic feel of the Wild Atlantic Way. You know, we have the visceral landscapes, but also that notion of, you know, coastal communities and that sense of, you know, we have whale-tucked areas up and down the Wild Atlantic Way. So that authentic community, authentic culture, is something that is hard for other destinations to replicate. So again, working with the people side of the brand experience is really important as well.
How tough of a job is it to develop that further, and particularly, I suppose, for those coastal communities along the Wild Atlantic Way, to try and stretch things out beyond the traditional 3-month tourism season, get it into the shoulder seasons, even with the weather being as it can be from time to time?
Yeah, look, in fairness, I don't think anybody comes to Ireland for the weather, you know. So generally speaking, people, you know, are not.
They just get on with it.
They get on with it, etc. And you know, and they know to pack for the weather. But I think even allowing for that, I think if we want to extend into the depths of winter, etc., we do need to have the things to do for the rainy day, etc., where, you know, you can't, the sea mist is in, you can't see maybe some of that landscape, etc. There needs to be other things to do. So I think from our perspective, you know, investments in things like the Blasket Centre and so on are about trying to do that. It's about, you know, that private sector investment that we saw in Killarney last night. Fantastic that people were prepared to, you know, put their own money on the table and take those kind of risks. I think that's the kind of work that we need to see happening. I think from our perspective, look, it's taken us 80, 100 years of Irish tourism to get where we are now. So I think I wouldn't want to say it magic wand stuff and eureka, the season goes from 6 weeks to 6 months overnight. But I think we are heading in the right direction. And I would often say, you know, that where energy meets energy, where that community energy meets the energy of the local authority, the energy of an agency like Fáilte Ireland, then great things happen. And from our perspective, it is that partnership model that we're developing with those 5 local destination plans, you know, whether it's Dingle, whether it's North Kerry in terms of the Cliff Coast, or the Skellig one, or the Killarney one, etc. All of those local groupings working with us, the energy that's in them, that sense of responsibility that local groups are taking, you know, that's bringing an energy to it. It is resulting in new experiences. And many of those have been showcased over the next couple of days here in the INEC, as I say, where we have, in terms of Irish industry, we have over 197 buyers in, and over 387 Irish businesses pitching to them, etc. Many of those from Kerry and so on. And I think that's the real opportunity is, you know, if we can work on the ground to create the experience, then with our colleagues in Tourism Ireland, etc., we can get that window to the world, as I say, in terms of introducing them. And I think we just need to get that mix of summer and winter season experiences so that we can slowly but surely build out that destination over time.
Yeah, Paul, can I ask you about the challenge that's there for a lot of those businesses in tourism, for people who are looking to set up or people who are in business, whether it's a restaurant, a cafe, an experience? Huge pressure coming on now. input cost rising, just even in the last couple of weeks, announcements made by various drink suppliers and food suppliers to those businesses of price increases coming in at the end of this month. It's going to be more expensive to go for a couple of pints if you're a tourist in Kerry or in Ireland this summer. It's going to be more expensive to go for a meal out. That's a fact. Some businesses are closing. How do we manage that in terms of the expense of Ireland as a destination for those buyers, that we manage, that we don't go back into where we were quite some time ago now, but we were seen as an expensive destination for tourists?
From our perspective, obviously we're very alert to all of those issues, as are our parent department. From our perspective, we are constantly benchmarking, I suppose, the Irish tourism sector versus international ones.
And with fairness, we're not the only country affected by international logistics or price increases or inflation.
Absolutely. So I think there's no doubt but that there are some of our cost inputs, like energy, like labour, etc., that are expensive relative to other destinations. But I think from our perspective, we want to create quality jobs. We're in a full employment economy, etc. If we want talented people coming into the sector, then they have to be paid. Obviously, there is a push now in terms of renewable energy and other things. The long-term prognosis in terms of energy costs is probably better. But short-term, we've got to work through that. And I suppose, I would take a view that, we are an expensive destination, and there is no point in trying to say we're not. But the key question then becomes, are we worth it? And I think a lot of the work we're doing on the ground with those experiential experiences that we're bringing to life, with the work we do with businesses in terms of our customer service offering, etc., that's the stuff that, from our perspective, certainly when we track visitors leaving the country or talk to domestic consumers, the overall experience is still very good. The overall sense of value for money is still very good. We can never take that for granted, and certainly from our perspective, we continue to work with businesses to make sure that their offering is the best it can possibly be. But from our perspective, I think we still have a lot of optimism about the future and the future prospects for the sector.
Okay, all right, Paul. Listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for taking the time to talk to us this morning.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank you so much.